Okay, it's Chris Michaels. This is the Last Call podcast, of course. Another feather in my cap for saying something profound. We are now learning from the Daily Mail that there is an organized movement of illegal immigrants taking place between France and England. Now, this goes way beyond the non-governmental organizations like the George Soros's and the HIAS, which, by the way, Secretary of Homeland Defense or Homeland, whatever the hell it is, Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, involved with HIAS, by the way. So why is somebody like that enabling illegal immigration? I wonder if somebody in his family is making money. Well, we're finding out, according to this, that there is something involving the government as a whole. Essentially, I'll sum up the article real quick. What's happening is France is accepting all of these illegal immigrants from Africa, from the Middle East, wherever they may be coming from. They're then being transported on boats from France over to England. But here's where it really gets juicy. The French Navy is escorting those boats to the middle of the English Channel. And then the English Navy is escorting those migrant boats over into England. Why would the government be complicit in essentially human trafficking? What are they trying to do? One, why are they trying to depopulate the global south? That's the first thing. Second, why are they trying to rip apart the social fabric of these countries, including the United States, Canada, and all the rest, right? There's something going on here. And how come there aren't that many women? Proportionally, there are way more men coming into these countries than there are women or children. They always make this argument, well, they just want a better life. Do you believe that at this point, knowing how much the Border Patrol has obtained, Chinese migrants? I mean, I'm pretty sure all of these Chinese migrants and other countries like from Syria and probably Iran, how come they aren't being scrutinized a little bit more? Right? Oh, they just want a better life. No, I'm not buying that, especially since the United States is behind a lot of shady things and a lot of discord throughout the world. These countries are probably looking at this open border as an opportunity to infiltrate the United States and potentially perform terroristic style acts all across the place. Hello, ships, miraculously ramming into the one pillar that would collapse bridges. I mean, what are the odds of that one happening, right? So there's something going on, whether that's a false flag, whether they're trying to depopulate the global south to colonize the global south, and what I mean by that is basically anything south of the equator, or whether or not they're going to try to depopulate the global north, because what they'll do is they'll say, well, we want everybody from the global south. That's right. We want everybody over here. Then they enact some other plan to make sure that the global south never gets depopulated and makes sure that whatever's in the global north is depopulated. So there's something going on here. It's nefarious. It's dark. I mean, then you go down the road of, well, we've got to make sure that the 2024 election goes to Joseph Biden because we need another 4 years to let this thing happen. And, you know, you got remember to vote for Joseph Biden. I brought that story up yesterday where these NGOs in Central and South America are putting on flyers, including in urinals, that you should vote for Joseph Biden. Well, how could an illegal immigrant vote for Joseph Biden? That's another thing that we have to worry about here. And If you think these Democrats are going to somehow swing back and be a little bit more reasonable with all their ridiculous policies, think again. This is in California. California's Senate rejected a bill to make purchasing 16 and 17-year-olds for sex a felony. Wow. Wow. This bill was authored by Senator Shannon Grove to make the buying of children for sex a prison felony, and hijacked her bill, forcing hostile amendments by denying Grove's efforts to protect 16 and 17-year-olds, and so on and so forth. So in California, this is a bad deal. And then you remember the other little bit from California, the piece of legislation that got voted in last year, where if somebody is within 10 years of a minor, then they are not considered a pedophile. So I think it goes down to the age of 14. So a 24-year-old could sleep with a 14-year-old, and that isn't sexual assault. That's consent, right? That's consent. No, that's not how this works, okay? What's happening here is they are trying to make a debauched society. They are trying to remove all kinds of moral stops. They want to remove the moral compass. They want discord. They want a hedonistic society. And I've hinted at this before. The reason why they want a hedonistic society is because their social norms, being they, the elites, and so on, they have a hidden social structure that only they know about. You can call it the Illuminati, you can call it Satanism, you can call it Luciferianism, but this hidden or occult society throughout the United States, the elites, and the rest of the world, it is markedly different from what you and I think is okay. They engage in a devil-may-care attitude type cult, for lack of a better word, that they don't see the negative as we see the negative. So when you're talking about, human trafficking, being a negative impact on society, right? There's a whole big occult type mindset that goes along with this, right? That's why you see people covering up their eyes and stupid photo shoots and all the rest. So I'm not going to go into that now, but they're trying to make that kind of society more prevalent in the United States so that they can be accepted. That's why you see Luciferian or Baphomet statues going up in public areas and saying, oh, well, it's religious freedom. That's why you see Luciferians and Satanists coming out and saying, well, abortion is our religious right because we engage in rituals that involve abortions. So we need it to be legal across the country. I mean, they sound like Democrats if you're really being honest about it. So we have to fight back against that kind of nonsense. We have to be the moral compasses and critical thinkers that say, hey, wait a minute. This is not what a productive society is all about. This is not a society of leaders. This is not a society of restraint. This is a society of just hedonistic, animalistic tendencies that only serve the most powerful individual, most influential group that doesn't take care of the society at large. That's what's really going on here. That's what's really dangerous. And they're trying to make the hidden society a public society so that these people can be more accepted. That also implies that there's something going on behind the scenes where a lot of this is going to be exposed. And so what they need to do is they need to drip, drip, drip this kind of culture into the mainstream so that the mainstream at some point accepts these individuals and this kind of culture. That is not something I would ever want to happen because, well, I do believe in a moral compass, and I think, along with many of my listeners, also have this same kind of characteristic. We know what's better for society. 99% of the time, we already know what should and shouldn't be done, and we have more morals than almost any lawmaker out there. It's not that tough to understand. And for what it's worth, RFK Jr. said no to Donald Trump, and supposedly when the Donald Trump team asked him to be vice president. If you had any doubts in your mind about how RFK Jr., he's in it to win it, doubt no more. He was never in it to win it. He was never a viable candidate. His campaign was never viable to begin with. This whole thing, and I'll go over his strategy again. RFK wants enough electoral votes during the presidential election so that neither candidate, Biden or Trump, assuming they're it, will get enough to be definitively the president. So what does that do? That then takes the voting for president into Congress. And these elites are the ones that are going to be choosing who is the next president. That's RFK's plan to begin with. And then never mind the fact that RFK tweeted out that, oh, we need more climate legislation. We need more mandates for COVID. We shouldn't let people be unlocked. Remember, everyone was locked down during COVID. People should remain locked down until we ram through Green New Deal legislation. He tweeted all of that. And then he's got family members serving besides neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. He's very proud of that, too. His family is also tied to creating all kinds of nonsense big pharma policies during the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on. So now he's acting like some chivalric stooge fighting back against big pharma. Well, his family caked out on it. They made plenty of cash over the decades. And then one step further, he's got this stooge vice president, this money-grubbing hoe, who is worth plenty of cash. She's a hardcore Democrat. I did a podcast on her opensociety.org donations everywhere. It's all towards woke policy. Less police. We need more counselors out there in the streets. That's what's going to stop crime. I mean, this is the kind of person that RFK chooses. And then one going another step further. I mean, why on earth would somebody like RFK not want to be with Trump as VP? Why? Because think about this. RFK is essentially the Democrat doppelganger to Donald Trump. He comes out and he says all the right things. He makes drastic statements that run counter to the Democrat narrative and the Biden administration's policies. So he's got that rogue-style persona on the Democrat side. Why wouldn't you want to have a unity ticket between Trump and RFK? Not only this, but if he were to do that, then a lot of Americans who feel alienated by Donald Trump because of his pushing of the vaccines and the mandates and so on and so forth, they can now say, okay, we got RFK in there, and he is going to go after Big Pharma, the FDA, the CDC, and he's going to hold people accountable as vice president. So yes, we've got something going on here. Now let's do it. Because RFK was never, ever, ever meant to be a viable candidate. He was out there to be a discordant candidate. He's there to make trouble for everybody. It's not going to work. I mean, nice try, everybody, but still, you're floundering. So now the Democrats are forced, because I still refuse to believe that RFK was not a Democrat plant. I think he was in there in the race as a third-party candidate for the way I described it, basically making sure that no candidate got enough votes. So this is going to be the Democrat strategy that we see moving forward. And that is just lawfare, trying to drain Trump's coffers, trying to get him snagged in all these lawsuits so that he has to show up to court. Otherwise, he gets arrested. And he can't go on the campaign trail, like I brought up with Joseph Biden, spending 3 days in Pennsylvania, a battleground state, if we're supposed to believe that rhetoric and the 81 million votes that Biden supposedly got. But he can't go there. He can't. He's stuck in these courtrooms. So immediately, I don't know how, this is not being considered election interference. How is this not election interference? It is. There's no way it's not. I mean, how come they're not giving Donald Trump the Bob Menendez, senator from New Jersey, treatment, where they're pushing his lawsuit out or his wife's lawsuit out enough so that the election can be over with? The utter hypocrisy here is astounding. And this insufferable judge, Juan Merchan, who probably thinks he is some Clark Kent-style model, because if you look at his picture, he's got this stupid, what appears to be a very, very faint goatee, and he's got the Clark Kent curl coming down his forehead. I mean, this is probably a person that truly thinks that he is it. I am the guy to model your life after. I mean, look at me. I donated to Biden. I've got a daughter raising millions, tens of millions of dollars off of the court case that I'm presiding over. I am it. And miraculously, being a person suffering from Trump derangement syndrome, I get to oversee this case. I mean, what are the odds of that happening? Especially since these cases are supposed to be put together through random lottery. I hit the jackpot here. Well, they're going through the juror process here. They're trying to sift through who can be on this case. And so that so far, at least what I know now, they've got seven jurors chosen. And this judge is turning a blind eye to so much bias from these jurors. I mean, take it for what it's worth. You have a New York City court case taking place, and they need to choose jurors, right, that are supposed to be unbiased. How are you going to find somebody in New York City that isn't biased against Donald Trump? That place is a teeming viper's den of inequity, and also they are just rabid about getting Trump. These jurors are lying through their teeth. Juror number one, middle-aged salesman who likes the outdoors, normally gets his news from the New York Times, Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC. Immediately, he is going to have an inherent bias because he pays attention to the New York Times and MSNBC. Juror two, oncology nurse. Oh my gosh, she probably is all about mandates, right? We need to be safe. Even if one life is saved through an experimental gene therapy prophylactic injection, that is good enough. Even if I get sick later on in life, as long as I save that one life, I am a hero. Guess where she gets her news from? New York Times, CNN, Google, and Facebook. Oh boy, I guess she's going to be as pure as the wind-driven snow. Juror number three, a corporate attorney who likes hiking and running, gets his news. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Google. Juror four, IT consultant, pays attention to daily news. New York Times, Google. Juror five, an English teacher. I wonder what pronouns she has in her resume or his resume. Gets news from Google and TikTok. Yes, of course, TikTok. Six, a software engineer, likes to go dancing and watches TV. My goodness, what a social calendar number six has. And gets her news from the New York Times and TikTok. Juror seven, civil litigator from North Carolina, lives in New York City's Upper East Side. Yes, because if you live in the Upper East Side, you're going to be conservative all the way, won't you think? Absolutely not. Especially if you're from North Carolina, you moved to New York City because you didn't like how middle of the road North Carolina could potentially be. So you needed to flee to the bastion of liberalism. That is Manhattan and its Upper East Side. The judge is allowing this stuff. The judge also did not disqualify a juror from the potential pool, right? Because... because, well, this person claimed they can be impartial. This person wrote multiple posts celebrating that Biden won the election, and they even attended a Biden victory party, and they claimed, now this is just an outright lie, they claimed that, oh, I thought it was an essential workers' party. I didn't know it was a Biden victory party. I'm outraged too, Chi-Chi. I can't get enough of this outrage. So these people are just so bad. The judge didn't dismiss another juror, and this comes from Viva Fry, and said, well, she's unbiased, and she could be, she could take a look at a case involving Donald Trump and make a truly just decision, until Trump's team decided to release audio of her and said, well, you know, she's really not that objective and unbiased after all. And she was allowed to skirt out of the jury duty by saying, well, scheduling conflicts. Okay, so she could be dismissed, but Donald Trump can't attend his son's graduation from high school. That's not a scheduling conflict either. I mean, this guy is such an asshole. Let's be honest here. This judge should be drummed out of the Bar Association. He should not be anywhere in front of anybody. He should not be anywhere near a gavel. So that's the other thing. So they have to stop with this, but they won't. They know they won't because they've got nothing to run on. I brought that up. Nothing to run on. Nobody can name anything the Biden administration has done that is positive for the average American voter. You know that. I know that. My bank account knows that. And your bank account knows that. How much are you paying for eggs? How much are you paying for gas? Right? Basic stuff you're paying more for. And the only thing that Democrats and Republicans can agree on at Capitol Hill is how to screw you over, either paying more at the pump, more in the food store, more at a restaurant, or just outright violating your rights as an American citizen. FISA 702 reauthorization. These megalomaniac, tyrannical fascists want to make sure that the Foreign Intelligence Service Act Section 702 is reauthorized, and this is a massive danger to American citizens everywhere. Well, what does 702 really do? I know, Chi-Chi. I know. I'm outraged, too. 702 essentially allows the government to hoover up all of your electronic data, all of your digital data, at the flip of a switch. You have to go everywhere in your life. You use Google, you have Verizon, you've got AT&T, and so on and so forth. Guess what they do? The government can contact those companies and say, guess what? I need all of the data on so-and-so, and you have to give it over. Otherwise, this company is going to be in big trouble. They're going to be fined, and God knows what else, right? So Elizabeth Goitein, co-director of Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, understands what's going on, and she breaks it down in the worst possible way. Essentially, what's going to happen is that with this new authorization, they slide in a little slice of a definition. They broaden what it is to have this bill in place. So here's what happens. Instead of only being confined to companies like Verizon and Google that must turn over this digital data, right? This bill now says that any company like Starbucks or an individual like a landlord that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance as long as they have access to equipment on which communications, like Wi-Fi, are transmitted or stored, such as routers, servers, cell towers. That sweeps in an enormous range of U.S. businesses that provide Wi-Fi to their customers and therefore have access to equipment on which communications transit. Barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, dental offices, on it goes. Now, don't you think it's odd that this kind of surveillance is going to be authorized during an election year? During an election year where the Republican presumptive nominee for the presidential ticket is Donald Trump? When this same person had so much problems, or so many problems, pardon me, with the FISA courts to begin with, because they were illegally used to go after his data. And then that data, whatever reports they generated, were probably beyond false to begin with. So now we have to deal with this nonsense. It's absolutely baffling that there aren't enough people out there in Congress to say, we have a constitution. And this could be a bad thing for it, because what we're looking at here is a violation of it. And what happens then? You then descend into a fascistic society where government and business is melded together and policies are generated on behalf of big business. And in exchange for those beneficial policies that ultimately screw you over, the government, it wants to access all of the data on you through the companies it's back scratching. Now we have this problem. And the Speaker of the House, he said, well, when I was on the Judiciary Committee, I never understood why they supported Section 702. I always thought it was a bad idea. But now, as Speaker, with more information at my fingertips, I can clearly see why we need to re-up Section 702 with this expanded definition of what it is to hoover up digital data on people that we don't like. Let me translate that for you. Speaker Johnson got a dossier on him, and they probably have a lot of dirt, and they were going to release that through a leak through the various puppy dog style media outlets out there. Hello, New York Times, Washington Post, and so on and so forth. So they got to him. They compromised him. And so now he's all about it. That's the status of what we're living in today. I hope he gets kicked out for no other reason other than being an asshole and not sticking up for us. That's it for me, Chris Michaels, Last Call Podcast. I'll be back tomorrow, as always, so gird your loins. Until then.